Jesus Christ. Amen. The portion of Scripture for meditation this morning is recorded for us in the book of the prophet Daniel, chapter 7, verses 9 and 10. This is our first lesson for today, this Last Judgment Sunday. Dear friends in Christ, the bailiff makes the announcement for everyone to rise. The judge enters the courtroom and the court begins its session. And you're on trial. You've been accused of committing some horrible and horrific crime. And when that judge enters the courtroom, when the trial begins, how do you feel? What feelings or thoughts or emotions are going through your mind? Well, no doubt, you're nervous. And you're afraid. You're not quite sure exactly what's going to happen. You're not quite sure about how the judge is going to rule on certain things. You're not quite sure what the jury is going to believe, how the jury is going to decide. And if they decide that you're guilty, you're not quite sure what the judge is going to decide as your sentence. You're nervous, and you're afraid because you could either be vindicated or you could be sent to prison, possibly for a long time. It doesn't matter what you're on trial for. You're always going to have that uneasy feeling. Especially when you're actually guilty of committing that crime of which you are accused. But you knew this day was coming. You knew the trial was going to come. So when you are arrested and so on, you prepared. Now you hired the best defense attorneys that you could. They meticulously study the law. They study the documents of the case. They understand the evidence that is against you. They have a good feeling of what the prosecution's case against you might consist of. I did their homework. You prepared. You studied. Together you come up with a plan. A defense plan. You're ready to defend yourself. And yet, when that trial begins, you're still afraid. You're still nervous, even though you're well prepared. Now, what happens if you could stand trial at any time for anything? What happens if the judge can have you arrested, the police could come and arrest you at any time, take you in front of the judge, and you would instantly stand trial and face sentencing for anything you have ever done at any time? Now, if you are afraid to stand before that judge in any normal situation, how much more fear do you have when you instantly face judgment? Now, of course, you know where I'm going with this. That's what Judgment Day is. The Lord will come with His angels in His full glory. And He will come suddenly when we're least expecting it. In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, when we're going about doing our everyday business, the Lord will appear in the sky. He will send His angels throughout the world to gather the whole world before Him, and we will instantly face judgment. Like a thief in the night, the Lord will come. And for those of us who die before Judgment Day comes, that will come just as suddenly. And when we die, we face instant judgment. We don't know when we will die. We don't know when the Lord will come. As Jesus says in Matthew 24, you also must be ready because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect Him. And there's no escaping this judgment. There's no hiding from His angels. There's not getting away on a technicality. The Lord will judge the whole world, and that includes you. In our text for today, Daniel sees a vision of the last day. And this is what he saw. First, he saw the glory of the Lord. He saw God in His full glory, whom he calls the Ancient of Days, And he says, his clothing was as white as snow. The hair of his head was white like wool. His throne was flaming with fire, and its wheels were all ablaze. A river was flowing, coming out from before him. Thousands upon thousands attended him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. Here Daniel describes God the Father, surrounded by his angels, his heavenly host, believers, sitting on his heavenly throne in his full divine glory. And then when this righteous judge takes his seat on his judgment throne, the court was seated and the books were open. Books open in front of God. What exactly are those books? Well, John also saw a vision of the last day in Revelation 20, and he describes what he saw. I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. The dead were judged according to what they had done as recorded in the books. These books record the life of everyone. Your thoughts, your words, your actions, your deeds are known by God. What you have done and what you haven't done. There's nothing you can hide from this judge. He knows all, both good and bad. And he has inscribed everything you have done on these books, and they will be announced for everyone out in the open for everyone to hear. Who wouldn't shudder? Who doesn't have chills down his spine when you realize that all your actions are going to be announced to everyone? You know you. You know your life. You know your wicked thoughts, words, and actions. And you're afraid. You thought about making excuses. You try to rationalize your sins. Well, I was a good person. I tried my hardest. I was better than so-and-so that I know, my friends and relatives. Or I didn't know any better. I was sincere at least. But you realize this judge isn't going to fall for any excuses. You can't get off on any technicalities. You know your actions. You know you're guilty. You know that you deserve to be punished, condemned forever. There's only one thing you can do. Beg and plead for his mercy and grace. But were you paying attention? Were you paying close attention? Look again to what Daniel said when he saw the Ancient of Days, the Father, sitting on his thoughts, his heavenly throne. Again, the beginning of verse 9. As I looked, thrones were set in place, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. Notice that Daniel saw thrones. Plural, multiple thrones, more than one throne. God the Father isn't the only one who sits on his throne in judgment. There are other judges on judgment day. Who? Well, the disciples. The apostles. Jesus told the apostles in Matthew 19, I tell you the truth. At the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne, you will have followed me. You who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And if you paid attention while I read that verse, you will also see that the Son of God, Jesus himself, has a throne. It says also in the beginning of our gospel, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. So it's not just God the Father who sits in judgment, but also God the Son. It's like having the world's best defense attorney on your side as a judge. Not only that, on your side, but this judge is the one who lived and died for you. He took all your sins upon himself when he suffered on the cross. He gave you his perfect life. He paid for your sins through His suffering and death on the cross. Suffering through their eternal punishment when He was forsaken by God. He removed your sins. Your hands that were stained red with the blood and guilt of sin and condemnation has been made white like snow. He washed away your sins through the waters of baptism, and He clothed you in His righteous robe, making you pure and holy in God's eyes. When God opens up those books and looks under your name, He doesn't see a list of all your sins, what you have done and what haven't you done, because your sins have been erased, removed by God, never to return to condemn you. Instead, He sees the perfect life and obedience of Jesus credited to you. And so He declares you not guilty on account of Christ. We have this judge, Jesus. Not just the one who suffered and died for you, but He is also the one who intercedes for you, who pleads your case before the Father, who serves as a mediator between God and man, since He is both God and man. He reminds the Father of this innocent suffering and death and the perfect life, which is now yours. As Paul likes to point out in Romans 8, who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Where God the Father condemns, Jesus steps in on our behalf. So the God before whom we stand judgment is a God who intercedes for us, is a God who pleads our case. The God who judges us is the same one who died and rose for us. And then there are the disciples. What are the disciples doing there? Well, the apostles, the disciples, they spread the gospel, the message of Christ crucified and risen, the message that salvation comes from God's grace through faith apart from works. They are there to testify that you are part of their church of which they are the foundation. You believe in salvation by grace through faith. And it is through faith which the apostles spread and taught, that you receive the blessings that this righteous judge won and gave to you. And there's another book on Judgment Day. Not just the books that are open that have our deeds recorded on them, but there's another book. John tells us again in Revelation 20. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. In this book of life are the names of God's elect, the ones God chose to believe in Him, the ones God chose to be saved and live with Him in heaven forever. Unbelievers who have not received God's forgiveness and eternal life through faith are judged by their actions. But believers are judged simply by the fact that their names are written in this book of life. Case closed. You're guilty of sin, of going against God's word again and again. Yet Christ, who sits on His throne in judgment, took away your sins and gave you His perfect life. He intercedes for you. And so on account of Christ, you are declared not guilty. Your name is written in the book of life, and at the end of days, the Lord will take you and put you to His right with all your fellow sheep, so that you will live with Him in heaven forever. God, our judge, will come at any time. with all his angels in his full glory, and you will face judgment. And he knows everything you have ever done and failed to do, and yet there's no reason to be afraid. No reason to be nervous, no reason to fear, because you have that worry-free trial. Because you know the result. Eternal life in heaven with your Savior. So instead of being afraid, instead of worrying about judgment day, we long for Christ to come again. We look forward to it. We repair our hearts and minds by being in His Word on a regular basis. And we look forward to that day of judgment. Not because we're innocent, but because of Christ, we are declared not guilty. Amen. Please stand. Now the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.